This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
35 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Joining us now, we were close with Brock Wisney. We had the Brock Wisney show here on a weekly basis throughout the UNC basketball season. So we're still chatting, we're talking, but you know, and Diana will be very happy about this. Every time I ask anything about this case going on, Brock's like, no, man, he shuts me down. Brock is a very nice guy, an amazing human being, but he's like, Brady, I got to stop you there, bro. We're not talking about it. We're stemming off of this story from Ann Delaney in the Greeley Tribune. Former UNC Bears basketball player, ineligible under current rules, is suing the NCAA. So we can't talk to Brock about it yet, but we can talk to his lawyer, and that is Diana Florence, with nearly 30 years of diverse legal experience. She's had a wonderful career, and now she's really into a lot of this. She's advising collegiate athletes and athletic organizations in name, image, and likeness matters. She is all over the sports scene, and there's a lot when it comes to the NCAA. Diana, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure this job is not very difficult or anything like that. There's not a lot of tape to go through on a regular basis when you're talking about the NCAA, and you know, every single day there's a rule change.
First of all, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. And I'm a UNC from the East Coast alum, so I feel like in North Carolina, so I feel like there's a sisterhood or brotherhood, which you pick, with the other UNC in Colorado. So I'm happy to be here.
So obviously, this is it seems like there's always something going on. You know, we've got so many different rule changes, different rule proposals. And everywhere you look, you look at these different stories, and it just seems like even when the NCAA, and I'm not trying to bash the NCAA, but even when they're trying to do something good, because I do like this rule, but we got an obvious issue here, and this involves, you know, Brock Wisney and players that did finish, or at least they thought they finished their college career in 2026, even though, like Brock Wisney's case, he played 4 years. He was there 4 years. He didn't redshirt or anything like that. He's not being given another year to go along with this new 5-for-5 rule.
Exactly. You know, it's really what this case is ultimately about is exactly that. I mean, who would have any problem with giving 5 years? It's just about the application of the rule. It's not the rule itself, right? And to single out an entire class, and we're not just talking about basketball or football, we're talking about nearly 25,000 Division I athletes nationwide who graduated in high school in the class of 2022, competed 4 years, followed the rules, did everything. I mean, you have athletes like Brock, who is like the epitome of what the NCAA should be, showcasing. He started as a role player, developed into this incredible, center, and one of the top scorers, league favorite, all academic. There is nothing about Brock that the NCAA shouldn't be putting on billboards. And yet, I mean, and again, it's not personal to Brock. It's just personal to 25,000 athletes in the class of 2022. And, I'm fortunate because my prior life, I was a prosecutor, and I, prosecuted cases on behalf of, undocumented construction workers and victims, sexual assault victims. And, it's always been about justice. And to me, Division I athletes and, undocumented construction workers are very similar because they're both engines of billion-dollar industries. And, they're often the last people overlooked. And the only reason the NCAA has been able to go scorched earth on these cases is because of the billions of dollars they've made off of March Madness and other NCAA revenue sports, so that they can try to keep, the things the way they are. And this is just not fair. And, we're just so thrilled that Brock was willing to lend his name to a cause that if we were actually able to pull it off, we could actually make everyone in that class eligible. We'll see.
Well, and this is what's so interesting. I mean, with Brock, and as you said, I mean, he's like the poster child for an NCAA athlete. And I would have never pictured Brock Wisney's name to come across my feed saying, hey, he's a part of a lawsuit suing the NCAA. But if you read deeper if you feel the way I feel, which most do, we're getting texts today like, this is the most obvious thing in the world to make this thing go through that they should be able to play. But I look at it and say, if Brock Wisney's putting his name behind this for crying out loud, then yeah, there's some passion here. This is clearly a misstep by the NCAA, which to me, it seems like such an easy fix.
It is. But what's amazing to me is that as I said, comparatively little, less than 5 years in the sports space and 25 in the criminal law space, I would say that in the criminal law space, often my criminal defendants act more rationally than the NCAA in deciding whether to take pleas or settle.
I believe that 100%. And again, like on the surface of this rule, I'm like, 5 for 5. Okay, that makes obvious sense. Wait, why is this class not being able to play? That seems odd to me. Now, we're getting texts coming in here, Diana. Just want to know, like, what's the end game here? What's the ultimate goal? Is it just so players like Brock Wisney and what are there 12 other players involved? Is that right in this particular case?
It's a total of 12. Yeah.
Okay. 12 total. Is the end game to basically, hey, we want that year back. It's July 23rd. We're getting late in the game here, but we want that year back and we'll be happy.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously lawsuits are not just about eligibility. Eligibility is called equitable relief. It's actually giving something, right? But of course, there's also, this is sports, right? And it's about money as well. So there will be a money component to this. It's, but that's really not the point of this. And one of the things, I'm just so proud and thrilled to be part of this team and that Brock was willing to join us is because it isn't just going to be about those 12. Again, if the judge, we've asked the judge, right, and it's going to ultimately be up to her, to weigh all the equities and weigh the motions. But, if we're able to convince her that this is, justifying, that this is unjustifiable, what the NCAA has done, we could, as opposed to having athletes who can't afford lawyers all across the country filing suits here, there, and everywhere, we could actually get them all eligible. That's, potentially very exciting. And again, we're a long ways from there, and it's up to the judge. And I think I told you offline, I'm not someone who wants to try things in the press. This isn't about that. This is about, this is a very, very discreet and narrowly tailored class. It is literally about the exclusion of the 25,000 approximately athletes from archery to basketball to field hockey who've been excluded. That's it.
Well, and full disclosure, I was the one, reaching out to you. I was like desperately wanting to get you on the show. It wasn't like you were reaching out to me saying, hey, I want to get this out. You out of the goodness of your heart jumped on this, whatever kind of show this is. So we appreciate you doing this, of course. And I think that's the point. It's not just about being able to play, even though if you win, we can assume, yeah, Brock might have a decision to make or other players in this situation would have a decision to make. It's about everybody else that's getting screwed over in this. It's the greater good of a story of a lawsuit like this or of a rule change like this.
Absolutely. I mean, that's it. At the end of the day, athletes should have some say in their future. It sounds so ridiculously obvious, and yet that's novel, right? I mean, so for over 100 years, the NCAA dictated every little thing that athletes did in a way that was, would not work for a regular student, right? I mean, you could on your Instagram, Amazon sweatpants, if you were a non-athlete, but if you're an athlete, you could lose your eligibility and your scholarship. And that's just, so it's always been a very bizarre situation, but now, now that things have changed in the last 5 years it's not to say that I don't see that things are in chaos. We do need things to be, there needs to be a better enforcement mechanism and everything else. But the reality is, it's the way this is being done, which is the NCAA doubling down and going scorched earth on athletes who are just caught in the sort of crossfire. It's just wrong. And that's why we're doing this. And that's why, Brock, like I said, we're just super, super grateful and honored that he was willing to lend his name to this case. And ultimately, let's see. I don't know. What, you know, we'll see what happens if we're able to pull this off. He'll have a decision, and you know, would be awesome. You know, I'd love to get myself back out to Denver and you know, and see him play. You know, and that would be amazing. Or you know, he decides not to. That's going to be up to Brock, but that's who it should be up to, not the NCAA.
Diana Florence joining us, Brock Wisney's attorney in this lawsuit. It's interesting, Diana. I actually talked to his old coach. I do a weekly podcast with Coach Steve Smiley, and he even mentioned, he's like, yeah, if they win, yeah, there's a good chance he plays college basketball. But he's done so well at UNC that he's the kind of guy that could command a lot of money on the transfer portal market. So he would have so many different options here. So, I mean, there's certainly a debate as to whether he would play. Sounds like he wouldn't play for UNC, as according to Coach Smiley. But to have the option to play that final year and to go make some real money. I mean, UNC, I love their basketball program, but Coach Smiley will be the first to admit they don't have the money that a Power Four team might be able to give Wisney. And for his prowess, everything he did in college, he deserves that. He at least deserves that opportunity. And if he decides, hey, I already signed with Spain, so I'm just going to go there, or maybe there's more to it, there's a buyout in place, whatever, to have those options on the table, especially with a player like that, that's what we're talking about, just to have those realistic options.
Yeah, it's just about, I mean, we were all 22 once, and when you start out and, you know, these athletes are finally in a position where they can have a nest egg. I think you were a student athlete. I was not, but I can tell you, having a lot of, you know, being in this world, I have a lot of colleagues and friends who were, and one of my close friends was on the UNC of the East, North Carolina's 93 championship team, and you know, who will often talk about, you know, what his college experience was versus mine, right? And it was wonderful and amazing, but, you know, it's a job. It's legit. I mean, yeah. you don't have time to mess around. So no one should begrudge these athletes, you know, whatever they're due. And I think that for too long, the NCAA has been making this seem like this is about a money grab and greedy athletes. This is just about fairness. And that's what this lawsuit is really just about, treating them the same as everyone else before them and after them.
Diana, last one for you. I know you're busy, and I might keep your number on file here if that's okay, because I would love to pick your brain about other stuff going on, because you're in this world, and I'm fascinated by this world. So I'd love to get you back on the show at some point if we could.
Absolutely.
Last one. Is there any kind of timeline, any kind of idea when we would know whether you're going to win this case or not?
So the case is on an expedited briefing schedule, which means that generally when you want to do things quickly, you don't go to federal court, you go to state court. But we've been, you know, very blessed that the judge elected to put it on an expedited schedule. So that means actually tonight I don't know if it's midnight or close of business, but and I don't know if it's my time, East Coast, or mountain time, maybe mountain since it's in Colorado. But we will be getting a nice, you know, bit of paper work for the NCAA responding to the motions, and then we will be responding next week. And we're hopeful that maybe in about 10 days we'll have a decision or an initial sort of inclination of where the judge is thinking, you know, what she's thinking and where things are headed.
Well, you know me already in time zones. I could not tell you what time it is outside of the time zone that I'm in, Diana. So there you
when
go.
When you're in New York, you always have to count backwards. That's easy.
I was carrying the four and dividing the fractions. I was doing all of it. I'm like, how do we? Okay. And I'm having texters laugh. I was not a student. I played high school. I did not play college sports or anything. So I've got texters texting in. You flatter me. Thank you for that. But no, the listeners are checking me on
your level of expertise suggested otherwise. So. What can I say? I'm a middle-aged tennis player. So I have 4 years of eligibility or five, but no one's going to give me any of that.
That is all the more reason to have you back on this show. Diana, thank you so much. You're awesome. I really appreciate this insight that you've given us. And hey, 100% rooting for you guys on this, and we'll be paying attention closely to see how this one wraps up.
thank you so much. Thank you for giving this story the attention it deserves, and just thanks for all you do for to spread the the good information, not sort of all the propaganda that's out there on pro and anti athlete. I just think it's always good to have it hear from the source. So thank you.
I'll be bugging you very soon, so just be ready, okay? And I don't know; it could be 3 a.m. I won't know what time that is for you, but I'll be texting.
It's all good. The altitude's different here. I'll be fine.
Diana, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
It's a pleasure. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
All right. Diana Florence, attorney for Brock Wisney there. Hey, I played high school sports there. Go Pokes. Come on. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show. Don't you dare go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Two teams, no parades.
No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.